Hey, what's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Millennial Versus. I'm Keenan, and here with me today are Laura, Amelia, and a very special guest. Now, this episode is going to be a little bit different from my previous episodes because it'll be a little bit of a mix between a conversation and an interview. This is our finale, so we figured why not switch it up. Today's episode will be about mental health and reality TV, but before we get started, let me introduce our special guest from one of my all-time favorite shows, The Challenge from MTV and Paramount Plus, Mr. Brandon Nelson. Thank you so much for being here, man.
Hey, yo, it's my pleasure, man. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy that people still even check for me. Let me shout out you, more importantly, because, you know, you reached out, and then I feel like I need to shout out NPR, because you need to be on that. You listen to NPR?
I do.
Yeah, you need to be on
that. Like, I'll work on that.
No, like, I'm not even joking. Like, in my old age, I'm an NPR guy. I was an NPR guy when I was a little bit younger too. You got to know what's going on. But thank you for the intro, man. And like, you know, I'm glad to be home, and I'm glad that we ran across each other. You know, small world.
So. Small world. Yeah. Small world. Man, like, you have done 5 seasons of The Challenge, and you are making your highly anticipated return for your sixth season after 10 years.
It's been around here?
Almost 10 years.
Just about. Yeah, we can round up.
Yeah.
Don't be dead. Look,
my bad.
I'm an old man. You know,
I ain't do that, y'all.
Yeah, no, black don't crack. So
at all. You look the same. It's just, look.
But like I said, don't mind that I ain't got lined up in nothing in a minute because I'm working on something. But, you know I can get clean. You know, just go to Instagram, Brandon D. Nelson.
Not plugging your Instagram.
Hey.
And he should.
Big things coming.
How does it feel being back?
It's an adjustment, to be honest. You know, without going into detail, you know, I've been living in Vegas for the past 12, 13 years. Got 2 kids, and you know, things don't always work out the way you want them to work out. But I'm a firm believer in that the path is already set.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't question anything. You know, worry not. So, I learned through those, you know, lessons in those books of life. And even with that, you know, I'm better for it. And so even with that being said, you know, after about, you know, 12 to 14 years of Vegas, I gave them enough, and I needed to get back home to get, you know, just to reset. And because you can't be good to anybody unless you're good to yourself first.
Man.
Because selfish is not a bad word. You know, you can be selfish, and people say, oh, you say that word, it becomes like a negative thing. Like, no, selfish means I got to take care of me. I can't take care of you if I'm not right. You know what I'm saying?
Can't get from an empty cup. I say that all the time.
So that was my biggest push to get back home. You know, I'm born and raised here. All my family's here. And then when things didn't go how I thought they were going to go, you know, the world isn't perfect. I got slapped in the face on that. But at the same time, it was a big learning lesson for me. I'm like, okay, but did I die? Nah. Did I think about it? Thought it was the end of the world, but then I woke up the next day. So, you know, got back home, just been resetting, man. It's been great to be back home and, like, you know, with my family and whatnot, but there's a lot of work to do here.
That's good. Well, we're glad to have you back. We are. There's, you just said a lot of stuff that you don't even know. You kind of preaching to me in that moment. Mm-hmm. I think, especially with the podcast and so much going on, I think there's just sometimes life can get ahead of you and you sort of feel like you're kind of spiraling a little bit and you're just like, wait a minute. I got to get my ground in. And so I think I'm kind of in that season because things are happening so fast. I've shared on the podcast that I'm getting my master's right now in IO psychology. And so with that and the podcast and a couple of things I can't announce yet, it can be a lot. So, like you said, just getting your foot and getting your grounding and being able to say, like, that was what it was. This is what it is. And I'll be able to push through it all, persevere. Mm-hmm. That's really good. I mean, especially with the topic that we have today, mental health and reality TV, like, I think especially as Black men, we talk a lot about that on the show, about how mental health is not discussed enough. True. So thank you for even wanting to talk about it, because it can be kind of difficult.
Okay. So thinking back to mental health, I don't watch a lot of reality TV, but one of the reality TV shows I do watch is Love Island. And in the past few years, they have like, I guess like a mental health team now. But prior to that, there have been some previous contestants who have committed suicide. So thinking about your experience with reality TV, is there a reason, like, sort of what led you to this? And, you know, do you feel like with what you've been through that there's support sort of for your mental health? And, you know, obviously Love Island and The Challenge are two very different things. I think Love Island specifically, a lot of people, you know, are focusing on what the contestants look like, you know, who's prettiest, who's, you know, who is the most handsome, who's the tallest, who's, you know, whatever. Like, it's very physically based. So yeah, just your experiences on, like, one, sort of what led you to reality TV, and two, what support do you feel like have you had while doing reality TV or afterwards?
Well, yeah, so I'll tackle the latter first. I've definitely know some people who have struggled with certain things as far as mental health, because the show can be very taxing. So once we film and the editors, you know, they the editors and the writers and the directors. So here's one thing, especially with my show. I don't want, because I get asked this all the time. Is it written? Is it scripted? Did they tell you? No, it's because our show is a competition based show. I want to get out of this in a minute and speak on Love Island in just a second. But because some of those people have been on our show, I haven't filmed with them before yet. But as far as help in and outside of the show, they definitely offer that to us. But it can be very taxing because, okay, here's a scenario. You get a call. You want to be on the show. You say yes or no. Great. Then you get confirmed for the show. Then they fly you, because the show is always filmed outside of the country. So you're always going to somewhere new, which is very enticing, because it's like, I get to go to, you know, Costa Rica. I get to go to Turkey. I get to go to the Czech Republic. You know, like these places. I get to go to Prague. Like, really? On your dime? I'm going. Here's the thing that people don't realize, because after the edit, when you watch the show, it seems like everything's just happening, you know, in real time. It's not. We do two challenges a week, Monday and Thursday, and then the eliminations are on Tuesdays and Fridays. So it's in between times. Like, as soon as you get to the airport, they take everything away from you. They take your phones, they take your computer, they take everything. You don't even know where you're going until you get to that connecting airport. They take everything from you.
Wow.
And then you just fly somewhere. And then when, like, you know, once you land somewhere, they put you in the house and you're good. But while you're in the house, they do a great job of editing, because in the background, as you're watching the show, there's music in the background that you don't even pay attention to. We don't have that. You get fined if you're reading a book, if you aren't engaging with other people, and they're not telling you what to say. They're just like, okay, we're filming a show. So it is kind of hard, especially when you go from, you know, these creature comforts of, I can pick up my phone whenever I want. You can't do that in the house. You have nothing. There's no music. There's no TV. There's no nothing. You can't leave the house. You're looking forward to doing another challenge, because it's like, okay, I get to actually do something. Or I'm going to go in the kitchen and just eat because I'm bored. Like, you literally, it's a silent house with a whole bunch of people until it starts dwindling down, until people start getting eliminated. So it does weigh on you. As far as... I'm so sorry. What was the second part of that question?
I think, how did you get started?
Oh yeah. So how did I get started? Oh, I get to the image. So they do offer, we do have therapists that we can call. We can do video things. We do have therapists on site. So they do take care of that. I mean, I don't know if that's something new for the latter, you know, seasons that I've done, but they've noticed how it does, you know. It weighs on us, man. Like, it's like, it seems cool, but it's just like, you know, once you get there, it's like, I've always wanted to do this. And you get there and you're there for like a month and you're like, I just want to go home. Like, you really just want to be in your own bed. Like, it's like, fuck the money. I just want to go home and lay in my own bed for a day with the covers over my head. And it's like, because when you're there, you're always on. Like, even when you're like, okay, I won this challenge. I know I don't have to go into elimination. I know I'm not going home, but you still have to interact with people. And it's just like, cause you're filming a show. Like, you really have, you signed up for a show. That's why people go crazy. A lot of people, they're like, oh, I would kill to be on the show. They pay you to be on that show. I would pay to be on the show. Yeah, you think that, but when you get on site, you have to be on at all times. And it's you got to be built for it. You know, it's not easy. As far as how I got on, which I'll tell anybody, especially the people that, you know, say that they really want to get on and they want to do it. There's thousands of, they showed me like all the applications and stuff one time. But originally, I was supposed to be on the Real World Cancun. And that's when I was still living in Little Rock. I was working at UAMS. And I went to the auditions and they flew me out to LA. Like, you know, the audition process is a long, it used to be really long. Now it's not that long. But I was going to be on the Real World Cancun. At the last minute, they were like, we're not going to choose you for this. So sorry, but we got something else in mind for you. I'd already gotten fired from UAMS, which is like one of the best jobs I ever had. I was making good money. I just moved back from Fayetteville. I'm mad. I'm like, I ain't going to lie. I wasn't mad. I was depressed. I was crying, like just bawling. And then that's when Verizon had taken over that AT&T building. I started doing tech support for Verizon. And 6 months later, I get an email from production. And they're like, been trying to call you. Did your number change? I was like, yeah, I work for Verizon now. Fuck you. And so they was like, you need to give us a call. We got something to talk to you about. So then I got on Fresh Meat 2 and I did 5 seasons straight. Then after that, there's a little lull and I ended up moving out to Vegas. I wouldn't change anything. The only thing I would change is like, you know, me marketing myself a little bit better. But the one thing I would say as far as, is every time I mean, I'm back home now, but even when I came home, people would be like, oh, yeah, that's all you. That ain't me. That's you, B. B Nail, that's you. No, man. Like, stop being scared. Like, I know the whole market is saturated now, but stop being scared. Just jump out the window. You never know who's going to be. Everybody's watching you. It's, and y'all too, especially Miss Amelia down there, especially with your demeanor and how you're going to stand on whatever you stand on. And I mean, you are open to, you know, receive information, but you're like, okay, well, this is what I know and I got you. We're good. And even with you, Laura, it's like, but the thing is like the not back down aspect of y'all is like, that's what, you know, casting directors and people that talent that they're looking for the shit like that. But what is now downsizing is, how do I put it? The baddies and the,
not a fan.
Yeah, I know some of them, like the Bad Girls Club people, like, yeah. So, but now people are getting more into, you know, people that, you know, they have their opinion and they have, you know, facts to back it up. And they're not looking for that ratchet shit, you know, that much anymore. But I thought I was done with it. And I did 5 seasons in a row from 2010 up until when I stopped. And then I moved to Vegas and I was killing in Vegas. And then they hollered at me again. So only thing I would say is be you, but be an over-exaggerated you, but be able to come back and, you know, pull from, you know, what you're really talking about. Like, don't just be over the top just to be over the top, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Like, have something to back it up. That's why I respect Amelia, because she was like, okay, well, this is why I'm saying this. Like, don't just say shit just to get clicks. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm saying this because
this is what I believe. And it comes across, like, on screen when things are inauthentic. And you can see, like, oh, okay, they're here for a check, or they're here because, you know, they know that this is what they believe the audience wants to see or wants to perceive, or what producers want and things like that, that makes a good show. Yeah. Instead of being authentically yourself and just like sort of dial it up a little bit, just be you. And it comes across when it's inauthentic. I mean, me and Amelia, we both watch reality TV and we're some junkies. We can watch some Real Housewives and things like that.
Sometimes
and
so, you need that ratchet fix though.
Sometimes. I mean, for me, reality TV, just like movies or books or anything else, any other medium, it's a form of escapism for me. So enjoy it. I definitely enjoy it. And I'm very intrigued a lot of times by the behind the scenes of things. And that's why I watch podcasts, a lot of interviews, especially with someone who is in reality TV and they talk about it. I've been watching like a lot of Married to Medicine stuff lately. And so I get how that can be, especially doing it back to back for 5 seasons.
Yeah. And then you forget what you talking about, and like there's a whole bunch of stuff that goes on with it, and then you're getting directed in certain ways. I mean, nobody ever tells you what to do. There's no script. And then, you know, that competitive side, it kicks in. You know, you get beat one day, you win one day, and then it's like, damn, like what am I doing wrong? And then you get that high if I did something right, and then next day you're like right on your ass again. So and then on top of that, you like, I'm a music guy. Mm-hmm. Put my headphones on, I'm cool. You don't even get that luxury. You
can't get music. That's crazy.
Like everybody, like, oh, that house y'all was in was dope. Y'all out here and motherfucking, yeah, okay. We can't leave the house.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like the food that's there is there. Unless, like I said, we only have 2 challenges a week.
So outside of that, it's just.
You don't get sent home, if you don't have to go into an elimination, you're just in the house chilling. You have 3 options. No, you have 4. You eating, you drinking, you fighting, or you fucking.
Well, there's a lot of hookups on the challenge. That it makes sense. I've seen a lot of them. But like you said, with knowing that, and I think I was watching an interview on like America's Next Top Model or something. They were saying the same thing. Like, there's nothing to do here. There's absolutely nothing. There's no TV. There's no magazines. There's no. But I didn't know you get fined for reading a book.
Yeah. No, and they do crazy. It on purpose. I mean, like, there's a whole psychological situation. Like, I ain't gonna say no names, but you know, somebody told me what it was and another. Mm-hmm. But no, it's purposefully done. Like, it's okay, we know we have all these quote unquote alphas mm-hmm. on the male and the female side that think that they are the center of their world, which I like to observe first, but I mean, I still got cast a few times, but I still don't understand why. I'm probably one of the coolest one on the edge, but they'd be like, we know what we're doing. Like, we have a whole algorithm as to how they cast people.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So it's just like, all right, well.
I was going to say, I have a question. So all that being said, what made you want to return for further seasons?
Divorce.
Like, what motivated you?
But no, I mean, in all honesty, like I was, like I said before, like I was in Vegas for the past 12 to 14 years. Me and my soon to be ex-wife, it just didn't work out. You know, there's nothing, I'm never going to say anything negative to her. She gave me my daughter. I love my daughter to death. Talk to her, you know, every day, and it just didn't work out. But, in the midst of that, as I was in a very low moment, I got a call and they were like, hey, you know, what's been going on? You know, online stuff, you know, I hate saying I have fans. That's just still weird to me. It's just weird to me. But yeah, so they called and they were like, you know, would you be interested in? And that's, you know, the simplest way I can put it. But it did pull me out of a really dark place. But I'm a firm believer in the path is already set. Like, you're right where you're supposed to be, because if you aren't, then you wouldn't be there. So mm-hmm. I'm just like, bet.
It's perfect timing.
Yeah. So it really helped me out. It pulled me out of a, you know, but, and then I probably, you know, had the best time of getting back involved in this, but yeah, I was already over it. I never thought that they would give me another call, because the last season I did was Free Agents, and that was like 8, 9, 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we can't go far past that. But yeah, so, you know, for them to even still have me on their radar, I'm really appreciative. I'm yeah, I can't even, you know, really express how grateful I am for it. But more importantly, for me, is that I can get into a better space to make sure the kids are cool, because you can't do anything for anybody if you're not good yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So
agreed. So how do you feel like this preparing for All-Stars 4 is different from previous seasons? Do you think the leading up to it was kind of the same?
No, definitely different. I killed myself on the previous ones, like trying to, and it didn't work out for me. So when All-Stars 4 called, I was just like, I'm just going to be me.
Mm.
And we'll see what happens.
That's what time and maturity does.
Yeah.
It really shows you, because I think, you know, I'm no challenger myself, but, you know, if I was, I think coming into it, like, at that age and at that time, like, you know, early to mid-20s, I would be different. I mean, like, I would be so green and wouldn't know what was going on. And so being able to come back years later, I'd be like, oh, I know what you want. I know, like, I know what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
I know myself better, and I'm able to know how I kind of want to be perceived. I don't want to say that, but kind of, sort of.
No, that whole perception, that thing went way, like, that shit was out the back window. Mm-hmm. It was just like, not that I didn't care, because I was very, very happy. However, I don't express happiness that well, but you can't see it on my face, but I really was very happy when they called. But appreciative, valued that they could have called anybody. They called me. At the same time, I don't want to say I didn't give a fuck, but it was like, that was my mentality. It was like, okay, you called me. I had a problem with, you know, worrying about what people thought of me. And I was so anxiety ridden on, like, okay, well, I need to look this way. See, when they called, I was like, all right, cool. And then I'll show up, and I'm going to show up how I show up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Yeah. That's and dope. I haven't felt any better than this. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I know we've had, like, I'm going to throw it to Laura, but, like, I know it's just the timing of this is really cool, just because the trailer just dropped.
Yeah.
And so the world, by the time this airs in some weeks, like, we're going to be, man, we'll probably be a few weeks into the season. So I'm excited to see where that's going to go.
Yeah.
But Laura, I'm going to throw it to you. You want to ask your next question?
Yeah. Okay. So how are things different now from how they were when you competed before?
Ooh, I can't really.
Can't share too much about that.
Yeah, because because I was telling him earlier too, like, because we have to, like, before it used to be like a free for all. I can't talk about the show. All I can say is that it has been, the trailer's out, and that's all I can basically say. And then that it's known that I'm on it. But yeah. So what I can say is that going into this one, I didn't have any expectations. I was surprised even to get a call, and not to say, I mean, me, as I'm just talking, I'm like, I don't care. Like, I'm showing up. Like, I know I got it, but no, it wasn't like that. Like, when I say I don't care, what I mean by that is that I'm not caring about everybody else, you know, like, I'm worried about, okay, who worked out more than me, or who knows who, or who's in what alliance, or, you know, shit like that. I was just like, they called me, I'm showing up. And yeah, so I mean, it really, in all honesty, I wish I would have taken that same mindset in the previous challenges that I'd done, because my anxiety kills me, because I'm a terrible person when it comes to worrying about what other people think about me. So, but yeah, on this one, I was just like, you know, especially with everything that I'd been going through and still am going through, I was just like, all right, they called me. Fuck it. Let's see what's happening. And that was it.
It's crazy. I feel like I want to know personally, like, how do you sort of decompress when you're even in the house after a challenge? Like, let's talk about a challenge, right? So you go through a challenge, it's rough, it's tough, you made your way through it. how do you, when you get back to the house, how do you say like, oh man, is it like, let me take a long hot shower? Is it like, let me make me some good food? Let me sit by this pool. Like what does decompressing look like to you?
Well, it depends. It depends on if you won. Cause if you won that challenge, it means you're good. If you're in the middle, then it means, you know, depending on the theme of that challenge, it means that you have the power to vote, mm-hmm. you know? If you're in the bottom, depending on that season or that challenge, it means you're automatically going in.
Yeah.
So now you got to dictate and politic. If you're at the bottom, you got to go and say, hey, I want this person. Go convince some people that you want to go against somebody you know you can beat to come back in the house. If you're in the middle, the bottom are the people that are telling those people, mm-hmm. depending on, you know, the theme of that challenge. And if you're at the top, you pretty much can just sit back and drink your wine and have your food and chill.
Just say, until the next challenge.
Yeah, the anxiety behind that is it's on 10. You really gotta just strategize in a way of, you know, it's gonna happen before the win or the loss on that challenge. By that time, you already got alliances set. You know, if this person loses, we're gonna do this. Like, the moves are already made. If something happens, you know, crazy or whatever, then it's like all right, now we got to cut some deals on the back end. You now you're cutting in on your alliances or whatever. So it just depends on who you trust. Who, the biggest thing is who you talk to outside of the show.
I've heard a lot
of that. I'm gonna leave it at that.
Yeah, I feel like you're one of the more likable ones, though. I mean, like, there are some people that are quite.
Amelia hates me.
Not the eyebrow raise. I saw that from below the. But I feel like there are some who, obviously, you know, they come in and you're like, oh, they're one of my favorites, or they're likable, they're this and that. You have some that you're just like, I mean, it goes for any show, right? Where you're going to be like, oh, this person or this.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's not a thing of, I mean, after like that second or third day, or after you see, if you see how somebody, you know, how they perform or whatever, then it's like, all right. And then if you just gauge it off of that, it's like, all right, well, but do I like them? Because now you the chess move is, I saw they perform.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I can ride them out to a final because I know I can beat them in the final. Mm-hmm. Or if I get voted in, I'm going to keep them to the side because I know I can beat them in an elimination and then come back and keep myself in the game. So you got to like play it as you go. Like, you're on the side, but you know, you got a weak, you got a pawn over here.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, do I keep the pawn all the way to the end, or do I keep them? And then it's like, okay, we're going to vote you in. And like, okay, I've been working with you the whole time. Mm-hmm. Give me who I want. I know this one's weak. I can beat them and I come back in. Now when we come back in, now it's game on for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the most fucked up part.
Ooh, I can see how that can be super taxing. I think especially if you... There's so many backstabbing moves that we see on the show, and it's
and then you don't know who's doing what outside of the show, as far as even talking or doing anything else.
I learned that this past season, but it happens every season though.
People talk to me a lot for whatever reason. I don't know why, but I know a lot about. I don't even want to know about.
You talk about people talking outside of the show, and creating alliances on the show. How does that affect your mental health before the show, during, and after? Because now it seems like it's not a thing that is only happening the month that you're on the show. It seems like something that extends outside of that. Yeah, well, it just depends on,
because, you know, me and Cara, we did our first show together on Fresh Meat 2. So we talk all the time. That's like my little sister. She crazy as hell, but... That's my people. And me and Tyree, you know, me and Leroy used to be roommates in Vegas. Me and Anissa talk all the time. But there's some that, you know, you can feel the vibe when it's like, okay, so here's how it works. So availability calls will start going out. And as soon as one person gets one, they'll call another person and be like, did you get the call? Did you get the call? Did you get the call? Availability calls mean nothing. Because production will call you and they'll be like, are you available between these dates? Cool. And they'll just say, all right, just want to know if it's a yes or a no. You might not hear nothing from them for months. You might get an email just to say, I'm checking in or something. You know, if you're one of the cool ones, you might get, you know, a call back saying, all right, we're looking at these dates, which might be months out. I'm like, all right, cool, I'm already in. I'm like, no, you're still not in. Just making sure you're still in. We're going to email you some paperwork, and then, but you never know until like literally like a week prior.
Wow, that's crazy.
Because they know we talk to each other. So as far as mental health goes, because I mean, for me, it's cool. You know what I'm saying? Like after free agents, I didn't really think I was going to be back on the show. And then I got an alternate call for All Stars 2. Which, because it was COVID, I had to be on site. I didn't get picked up for the show, but I was there. They flew me and like four of the people down, which I can't say their names. We literally stayed at a resort for 2 weeks until they were like, okay, you guys aren't getting picked up. We're going to send you back home. But they paid us. I can't talk about that either. But then they were like, you're going to be on All-Stars 3. Didn't happen. And then 4 came around, got a call for that. But then we'll see how that goes. But as far as how it weighs on you, because you know, like you have to pick up, like there's some people that have like absolute careers. There's people that have like things that they can't, you know, deviate from. And they're like, all right, if I'm going to do this show, which, you know, they can parlay that into a million other things. But if they're locked into whatever they're doing at the time, it's hard to say no. You know, and especially the dangling, you know, it's just you're just an alternate. You're probably going to get picked up. And it's so as far as, you know, back to your mental health, it's taxing. And then when you do get picked up, then you get there and you got to, you know, let your employer know, which is why I'm in the process of being my own. I'm going to be the boss. Finally figured that part out. But it's like you go. And then you never know when you're going to go home. So It's yeah. And then on top of the, you know, no music, no TV, no books, no nothing, you know. So now you're just fighting to win, because it's like, yeah, you get paid to be there. But at the same time, you want to win the big prize, because it's like, why is it worth it? Some people it's worth it just to show up to be like, I'm going to get my guaranteed money. I'm going to go back home. I'm not in that bracket. I'm in that bracket of I want to get it all when I'm there. So, it does wear on you. And then even on top of that, social media is a motherfucker.
How has that affected, like, your... Me personally, I think the only reason why I would not do reality TV would be because of social media. Because...
It depends on what show you do.
Everybody if has
you do, an opinion. If you do a black show, which this is not a black show.
Right.
There's not a lot of us on the show. Mm-hmm. So the few that they pick for us to be on the show is like, you got the golden ticket. You don't Willy Wonka right now. So not even like to press it like that, but at the same time, like, I mean, it's just look at the stats, you know.
Yeah.
They've gotten a lot better about it, you know, on the back end, but it's not and the thing I don't want to get into is a whole, what is a black show? It ain't. I don't want to get into the love and hip hops and the baddies and the bad girls. The thing about it is, Bunim and Murray, which is our production company for Real World, Road Rules, The Challenge, all that. They're also the same production company for the Kardashians, Bad Girls Club, RuPaul's Runway. Like they, you know what I'm saying? So it's like production companies just sell shows to networks, and then they buy them and they air them. But Zeus ain't. Zeus is their own.
Yeah.
Zeus is, you know, I know about that shit. But at the same time, you know, Natalie came from the Bad Girls and all that. Like, they just transitioned. Good on her. You know, I used to be cool with the twins. Who was that? Danny and
Claremont twins.
Nah, I forget that name. Danny and somebody. Anyway, they cool. Like, wasn't there? There's nothing there. But anyway, long story short, it's a competition show. I'm just gonna leave it. I'm gonna leave it there. And you know, sometimes the competition is built for you. Sometimes it ain't.
I know. I think, especially like with you mentioning race, right, and knowing that when you walk into the house, there's going to be, like you said, that golden ticket. I know for the longest time there were, like, you, Tyree, there's Anissa, who's been on the show for forever, But seeing like some of the women come in, especially like Killa Cam, that's
when I say, oh, I love that's
Cam, Leroy, like those, like
Leroy's my brother. I told you we should live together.
Yeah, which is in Vegas, right?
Yeah,
that crazy. And so, like,
I saw Leroy today. I saw the Cam the other day.
Yeah, because I saw that she just posted on social media. Crazy baby number two, but congratulations, Cam. But yeah, for that, I think it's interesting to see how things really have progressed as far as being able to have more people of color on the show. But I can still imagine how. We all know how the world is. We all know how it is being here in this country. And so to refine that even more and put that same sort of almost very similar demographic into a small house and compact that, I can imagine how, I mean, I won't bring up stuff, but I've been watching The Challenge since I was 10 years old. Right. So I know a lot of stuff that has happened on the show.
Yeah, but you're only 20, so.
I mean, you know, 20 and a couple of quarters, but yeah. But I've seen how certain things have happened on the show, and I'm just like, man, I could not imagine having to be in a house with that. And I just have to like move on from it, because we still in the house together.
Imagine how much stuff doesn't make air.
Mm.
That's the part. There's so much stuff that never, ever will be aired. But they got the film, but there's so much that will never be aired.
Because y'all are almost like...
No, we're filmed 24 hours a day. So I was gonna say, it's like check me out.
Big Brother style almost.
So as soon as we get into the house,
mm-hmm.
they mic us up. Get a mic right here. Let's say this is set, right? Okay, we're in the house. That computer right there will have a mic on it. That fan will have a mic on it. That plant will have a mic on it, just in case. So you get fine. Like, let's say I'm finna go jump in the pool or whatever. If I take my mic off, without telling somebody in production, it's a $500 fine.
Wow.
So I can't touch nothing. I'm like, I'm finna get in the pool. So all they'll give you like one of those waterproof ones or whatever, which mm-hmm. is rare. But yeah, so no, and then let's say I'm finna go to sleep. They'll take your mic off, or you gotta do the whole thing. Take your mic off. I go get in the bed. Let's say somebody climbing the bed with me. There's a camera there. Camera there. There's a camera and there's mics, you know, because I'm not mic'd up don't mean I'm not being filmed, don't mean that they're not hearing me. And then the folks would be like trying to distort their mics. If they catch you doing this, this is the thing that people figured out. Your mic is right here and they start tapping it.
Mm-hmm.
And then production can hear, because there's a sound guy behind you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh no, fine, out of fine.
I had no clue.
Guess how many times I've been fine. I need all my money.
I get it. I'm like, y'all, let me come in here.
Y'all can see whatever y'all want to see. Hear whatever y'all want to hear.
It's not what I'm here for. I get that. Let's see. What question we got next, y'all?
Okay. Reality TV shows are known for throwing unexpected curveballs at participants. Can you share an instance where you had to quickly adapt to a surprise challenge or twist, and how did you approach that?
You know, now that you mention it, I would say my first one, when I did Fresh Meat 2. Okay, so they condensed this down to make it seem like it was nothing. So it was me. I feel like I know the whole cast. Me, Luke, Kara, Noor, Pete, Vinny, Sandy, Sydney. I feel like I'm missing, like, just a couple people. Shit. But anyway, so what happened was everybody that was on Fresh Meat 2, either the guys had applied and almost got cast for a certain Real World. And at the last minute, they didn't keep us. So most of the girls were on that same plane, but there's a couple of them that were supposed to be on Bad Girls Club, because Buniman Murray is our production company, and they didn't make Bad Girls Club. So they were like, we're going to put you on Real World. They didn't get that either. So when they came up with Fresh Meat 2, we all, you know, got cast for that. So I was like, all right, bet. So, excuse me. I remember when it was. It was September of 2009. I was doing tech support for Verizon here in Little Rock, Arkansas. I get an email. They're like, your number's changed. We've been trying to contact you, blah, blah. Hit them up. They hit me back. They're like, all right, yeah, we're going to put you on the show. Bet. We leave, and the great thing is, have you ever seen the challenge before? And like, yeah, of course, you know, that'd be great. And, you know, with the challenge, you always film outside of the country. So I'm like, it's my first time. I got to get a passport, all this shit.
Oh, wow.
Man, they flew us to Seattle and then flew us to British Columbia, which is like 45 minutes north of that in Canada. It's still fucking North America. You know, but at the same time, it's like, all right, fuck it, we here. So we all get there. And then the thing that that was like the most like, so we get there and then they fly us on this little bitty, like, you know, have you ever been on a plane that like has to land on water?
Oh, those little
boat planes or whatever. Yeah. So they put us on one of, like, we fly there to the airport. Then they put us on one of those. It flies to like this other little island. We sit there, we eat, and they fly us to another little island. They get us off of that. And then they walk us, they put us on a bus, and then we walk like to this open field that has like this military tent. We walk in, there's like cots for all of us, and our bags are already there. And we're like, all right, cool. This is the part they didn't show on a, I mean, we were there for like 5 days. Like, no, like we were cold. Like, dudes was like huddling up with each other. Me and Mandy were cuddling. Me and Sandy were cuddling. The part that we were like, oh, what the fuck? And then that's when they did the whole little combine thing where they like tracked you 40 times and your pull ups and all that bullshit. But we were there for like 5 days. They'd wake us up in the morning. We would go and they'd give us breakfast. We go back into the tent. And we're like, no, this is some bullshit. What y'all got going on? Nothing. They wouldn't even talk to us. Go out for lunch, come back out for dinner. If you left the tent, they'd be like, you're going to get fined. And at that time, I can't talk about money. We weren't getting paid anything, really. Mm-hmm. Like, it was nothing. And then finally, we get to go do the whole little combine thing. But that was the thing that I was like, is this how this shit is all the time? But then finally, we go do the combine. You know, people pick us for their teams. Caitlin picked me. Yeah. So then we finally get into the house like that next night. But we were there for like a week, and we didn't know that was going to, like, we really thought Sydney wanted to quit. She was like, send me home.
Mm-hmm.
No, but I'm telling you, like, we literally, a tent as big as this room, cots, no heat, no air. It's the middle of September in Canada. It's raining. It's cold as shit.
Yeah, I remember this.
And we just laying there. They bring us food, and they just get the fuck out. We couldn't even, I was like, can I get a beer? Like, nothing. The sun would come up. We'd be out. We'd go, you know, run around. And that was it. But, like, that was the biggest thing that really fucked me up. And then finally we got into the house. Like, we was in, like, some fuck you kind of mode. They know what they're doing. They literally have psychiatrists and psychologists that, we got to do a psych eval before we
begin the show. That was my question from earlier. Do you have to do a psych eval before you leave?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought. I can imagine how that is a lot. I know, because typically the first thing you see is everybody running in the house trying to chase to get their rooms and trying to, like, you know, see everything. And oh my God, twice. There's a pool. Yeah.
Cause never again.
That was Kara's first season, right?
Freshman too, yeah.
Was that Laurel's first season?
Yeah, me, Laurel, Kara, we were all freshmen too.
Wow, that's insane.
Yeah, talked to Laurel about a week and a half ago.
Mm. Yeah.
With her and fucking Nicole, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that's mentally. I probably would have checked out after that. I'd have been like, wait a minute. This isn't like the other seasons or like what I've seen on TV, because I'm supposed to be in a big house.
Yeah. Well, no, once you get there, it resets. And then, like, I'd probably say after like that second week,
mm-hmm.
it's just like, you're just looking around. You're just trying to find things to do. The only things that are to do, I mean, you're lucky to have a pool table. You're lucky to have a gym. Like, now they make sure they have like a gym, a little gym situation, a pool. There's only so many times you can do that. You know, that's when people, like, by like that third or fourth week, everybody got a bottle in their hand. They're just like, I can't do nothing else but this. Or you got people in there just pulling shit out the fucking pantry and just cooking up shit they never thought of before. And I'm like, all right, cool, do your thing.
And 3 and 4 weeks in, by that time, the competition is like, you've had some people who have left the house at that time. You've had a bunch of, probably a twist at that point, especially nowadays, like with the challenge, they love throwing like a mid-season twist.
Yeah.
And so you've had that, you've had alliances that are now being, new alliances that are being formed. You have some where you're seeing the crack in the foundation at that point. So I can imagine how alcohol would, like, dialed that up to 1,000.
Yeah, I mean they've definitely dialed that back a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because like even when I was on before, like it would just be like anything that was left in the house, it would leave in the house. Now once everybody, you know, once they say, okay, I'm going to bed, you have to tell, you know, somebody I'm going to bed, because you can't take your own mic off unless you want to get, you know, fined or whatever. So like if they take your mic off, you need to go lay your ass down. Creeping back into the kitchen for you know, snack or whatever is not a big deal, but they don't leave anything in the house. After everybody's laying down, they will go and take every, and then here's another thing too. They know how many bottles they bring in. They had a thing actually on Free Agents. There was a thing where you didn't get another bottle until you brought a bottle, an empty bottle back.
Oh wow.
So it's like if I take two wine bottles, I'm like, okay, well this is for Nani and then this one's for me or whatever, like bring these back and then you can get two more. So they'd be on top of it. But then you got some very creative people that are on the cast that'll, you know, figure out how to, you know. So I'm not one of them.
I remember they used to have what was it? The shit they should have shown. Yeah. Those used to be. I used to like sit and like watch. Like, oh my god! Like yeah. They are really
rest in peace night. No, rest in peace night. No, that's my dude, man. We had some good times outside of the show. But yeah, I love night. We had some, especially on Battle of the Seasons. We were in Turkey, one of my favorite places that we actually filmed. But yeah, because like we came in late and then we had to like do our opening shots for our team. It was me, Camilla, Cara, and Easy. But yeah.
Hey, I like the Easy.
No, Easy cool. I talked to he hit me up too. He's an all he called me not so long ago just to say what's up. But no, so like even on that season, like we had to film our opening shots like because everybody else was already there. We were brought in at the last minute. And so they brought us in, we did the first challenge or whatever, then they took us back out to go do some stuff, but they took us like to this open mart or whatever in Turkey, and they fucked up because I had my backpack, and I was like, I need to go to the bathroom real quick. Man, I went down to the bathroom, I stopped by a little thing, I was like, I'll take American card. I was like, if it's a card, it's a credit card, don't worry. Got a half gallon of Smirnoff, put in my backpack, came back, got in the car, went back to the room.
See y'all.
Not to the room, but I went back to the where we was at in Turkey, and then I told Knight, and then Knight was like, he had this big ass like water bottle thing, and I dumped it all in there, threw the bottle away, and me and him were sipping lunch. That was my dude, though, man.
Rest in peace to Knight.
Yeah.
Were you ever on a challenge with DM?
Nah. No. I talked to her a couple times. Like, she was asking about like a fundraiser or something like that, and I like, you know, signed some stuff and sent it or whatever. But I never did a challenge with her. I never met her in person. But the effect that she had on everybody that I've done shows with, that, you know, it's just like, you know, it's undeniable. You know, she clearly was, you know, a mainstay.
Yeah.
And very influential on how people just, you know, just, you know, live in the moment, you know, with the things that we are blessed to be able to do. People would pay to be in my position right now, you know. So that's why, especially in my older age, I don't get too riled up about. I used to get really sensitive when people were like, that motherfucker ain't shit, why the fuck they keep putting him on, he ain't nothing but, you know, like, okay, well apparently they casting me for a reason. But then I got over that cocky shit on some, like, nah, but I mean, they're bringing me through and that's cool. And now I'm just very appreciative, you know, because I could step off the curb wrong stepping out of here and it's over. But I can say, got to travel the world, you know, somebody else's dime. And there's some folks that I might have been able to influence to be like, you know what? It ain't that bad.
I got to be honest, as a guy who's kind of like, because again, one of my favorite shows, as someone who like follows a lot of threads and things like that, a lot of people have been asking for you back for a long time.
I don't know what.
I mean, it's just, it. I think it goes to show, like I said earlier, like you're one of the cooler, easier people to like get along with.
We gotta convince Amelia that's the case, though. I feel
like, she knows it.
I got some work to do on her.
She knows
it. Laura too, though. But you know, when we talk over dinner, I got y'all. Y'all gotta get some wine in me. I'm not a bad guy, I promise.
We love seeing like you interact with, I mean, the challenges itself is are crazy, but seeing you interact with people, I think you just, everybody's like,
Brandon. Yeah, because my thing is like, man, like I've seen a lot. I mean, I try to, you know, keep my head above water, if that makes any sense, but I've seen a lot that I'll never even, there's some stuff I got to take to the grave. You mm-hmm. know, nobody's perfect, but you know, and the thing that I love is that a lot of people, when they look at me, they think that, oh, that little nigga ain't about nothing. Oh, little light skin, pretty. All right, cool. But it's not for me to, like, you know, prove that, you know, I'm new. Nah, I'm good. That shit's done. You know what I'm saying? I'm all about, you know, I want people to be positive. I hate when people look for negative stuff just mm-hmm. to be like, gotcha. Like, all right, if that makes you feel better, but cool. But I'm not finna be on that level for long. And then it's like, if it's, and even if it is a gotcha moment, like if I'm wrong about something, enlighten me. I'm still a sponge. You know what I'm saying? Like I used to be really just mad about nothing. And once I figured out that it's really nothing, it's like, you know how much weight you take to sleep.
And that's the thing about social media when it comes to the show. It's, you have to have that mindset before even like being able to step into it, you know?
Yeah, but you know, whether it be negative or positive, if they're talking about you in that realm, it's mm-hmm. like, you still winning, you yeah. know what I'm saying? But yeah. at the same time, it's like, I'm not doing it for that. There's some people that purposefully, they will lean into that negative part because I'm going to stir this pot because I know somebody's going to talk shit. They don't mm-hmm. even believe what they're saying, but they'll just, you know. And it's like, all right, y'all do that, and then I'll be over here. Like, in all honesty, on my daddy, I never thought I'd be back. I'm like, and even in the radar of people checking for me, you know what I'm saying? So I'm just really, I mean, in all honesty, I'm just thankful. But here's one thing I will do. I will say, because like, it's funny because motherfuckers would be like, oh, you think you cool because you're on TV. No, I'm on TV because I'm cool. There's 100,000... Without, I'm not trying to be that dude, but mm-hmm. there's hundreds of thousands of people that try to do it. They call me back a few times.
Yeah, I mean, it's a testament. It says a lot.
But it's not me trying to be like, I'm better than you. It's like, mm-hmm. I want people to go jump off the cliff. How many auditions did you go to? How many casting calls did you go to? Did you try? So don't shit on me. You know, we're not in Dubai. I'm fucking with you.
Man, one day. We could talk about that all day.
Maybe anyway, as we were.
Yeah, what's our last couple of questions? I know Amelia, it was yours.
Sweet. One of our last questions is on the dynamics in reality shows can sometimes strain personal relationships. How did you manage relationships with fellow competitors? And did your experience on the challenge affect your relationships outside of the show?
Yes, absolutely. Because, you know, when you're, back to the reference of, you know, when we're in the house, it's just us. So you have these false narratives of relationships. Like, it's like, if I'm sitting next to you every day and we're just talking about, where'd you grow up? What'd you go through? Oh, we're kin to this, we're kin to that. And then you might feel like you're tighter than you really are. And then once you wrap and you leave, you don't hear from this person. Or you might get a couple phone calls. You might, you know, text them or whatever, and then it's just like nothing. Then the only time you hear from them is when another show's coming up. Mm. And then it's like, okay, I see where we at. That's cool. But, you know, there's some folks that, you know, like Cara, Leroy, Tyree. I mean, there's some folks that, you know, I talk to outside of the show. We could never do another show together again. Like, they are, you know what I'm saying? That's family. Like, if you in town, if I'm in town, like, it's whatever. You know what I'm saying? But it does definitely affect, you know, the dynamic. Because let's say you was really tight with somebody on a previous show and you don't do one for a while. You jump back in and you see that person again. That person might think y'all picking up where y'all left off. The other person might be like,
I don't know you no more.
What?
You two, that's, we're two different people.
It's like, yo, there's a whole bunch that went on in real life that you don't even know about, but you got mm-hmm. a whole little attitude because I'm not going along with your alliance, but we haven't even talked. You knew you was going to be on the show. You could have called. You know what I'm saying? I'm not speaking from a personal experience, but I'm just saying shit like that happens. But yeah, I mean, you know, the ones that are the ones, and they're very few and far in between. The people that I don't like are the ones that it's really like, this is their life. Like, I'm happy to meet people that I can build a relationship with outside of the show because I met them on the show, but I don't want the show to be us, if that makes any sense.
I have a question.
Yes.
So do you think that that's one of the reasons why Anissa sort of gets like the heat that she does sometimes? Because a lot of times she will say like, so-and-so, like, this is my best friend. This is, I can cut this out, but like,
nah, I'm not even going to trust you to cut it out. I can't speak on Anissa right now.
Got it.
I'm not saying nothing about that young lady. Nope. Good or bad. Like, I'm not. Nope.
Amen. Cool. What's our next question?
I'm not. Nope.
Okay. Next question. Life after a reality show can be a significant transition. How did your experience and the challenge influence your personal and professional life? And what advice do you have for others navigating the post-reality TV phase?
At the time that I did it, it wasn't so saturated as it is now. There were times where when I wasn't, okay, so I'm not going to lie and say that I wasn't jaded. I mean, you know, very much so, you know, you just go into the gas station and somebody's like, are you Brent? I mean, you know, you get a good little dopamine hit and you like, somebody knows who I am. So, you know, I'm not going to lie and say that that wasn't kind of cool from time to time. Also, that does get annoying from time to time, but when it stops, then you're like, damn. You know, because like there was a time where I wasn't on. That's when me and Leroy were living together, and he got hit up for a show, and he left, and I was still at the crib. And there, when he got back, there would be times where we'd be out in Vegas, and I'm holding the camera, taking pictures of him and whatever person wanted to take a picture with him, and I'm like, you know, I was on the show too. In my mind, I'm not gonna say that out loud. But there's also times where he didn't get picked up and I got picked up and then he has to hold the camera. So little stuff like that. But, you know, just that expectation of, you know, when you're out in a certain situation, but then you get over that pretty quick, you know, because my whole aim on going on these shows is to win the money. It's not just to be like, oh, I was on TV. I mean, after you've done, you know, two or three, it's like, all right, now it kind of gets old because it's really not that fun. Like, it's not fun because, like I said, you can't do anything once you get there. Like, you look forward to doing challenges just to see if you're going to go home or if you're going to win and get to the next stage. But as far as people who get on reality TV, I would say go our route if it's like a competition show, because it definitely dictates whether you're going to be there or not. But if you go on a reality show where it's like a Big Brother, or because I know some people that I've done some events with people on Big Brother, Amazing Race, Survivor, stuff like that. Like, they really take that shit to heart where they're like, I'm a real celebrity. I've never, ever looked at myself that way. It still amazes me when people are like, I know you, and I appreciate that. I'm never like on some like, yeah, whatever type shit. Like, it makes me smile. But as far as people coming into it, since it's so saturated, the only advice I would give is if it's a competition show, go in it trying to win the money. If you're there just to get some notoriety, once you get your little FaceTime, you know, your little camera time or whatever, just try to, you know, maximize that as best as you can. But don't go into it thinking that that's going to make you famous, because there's a million different reality shows on TV, let alone online. There are reality shows that are just set to your phone. There are reality shows on TikTok. You can watch episodes of a reality show that's just dedicated to TikTok. So we're not even talking about YouTube. So the only thing I would say is don't go into it thinking that you're the only one, because there are 100 million of y'all. I just got lucky because I was on one of the ones that kind of set the standard. And I get to travel the world because anytime the challenge calls, we always film in another country. And I'll hang my hat on that. I'll be cocky about that because they're paying the bill on that. But other than that, it's not going to set you up. Like, there's only a few Johnnies, a few CTs, a few, you know. But you gotta do it the right way. But if you get lucky enough to get cast for something, then just, you know, do it the right way. Try to ride it out. But it's not gonna pay your bills for the rest of your life.
And Amelia, I think you have the last question.
Are we doing rapid fire?
After this, yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm scared.
Like rapid fire?
I do, but I'm scared because I haven't seen it.
What has been the best and most difficult part of being on reality TV in general?
So the best part, I mean, the exposure, of course. You know, you get opportunities that you might not be afforded those certain opportunities without being on it. Because, you know, people will treat you different. Like, you could be on the local news tonight and somebody could see you tomorrow morning and be like, I saw you last night. You could just go viral for a week. You know, that's, you know, the life we live right now. So, I mean, that part. And I'd say the only negative would be that everybody has an opinion. You know, they don't know what goes into the actual competition that happens, the production, how it's edited. And they're like, oh, your slaw ass could have done this. You weak. You couldn't. So-and-so beat you. And like, all right. You know, you guys got to take it. You know, it's not a big deal because ultimately they picked me. They didn't pick you.
Well, yeah, I could see how, like, especially when you're in the competition, it's like, okay, but like, could you do this kind of stuff in real life?
And it goes on way longer than they actually air it. And with editing, you know, if you're doing a 30 minute clip or you're doing an hour and a half clip, like, you know, we're being filmed at 24 hours every fucking day. So it's like, they have to take what fits the storyline. That's the only reason, like, people are like, oh, we saw on IMDb, whatever, you have writers and you have directors. They're basically just taking clips and making a fucking collage. We don't have a script. They're not telling us what to say. They're not doing any of that. But we have to be on that because they take all the stuff that's going to make a good thing for the viewers to watch. So, yeah, if I look like shit, but I could have been whooping motherfucker ass. They chose not to air it. Cool. Now I look a certain way. You know, yeah. But that's out of my... I signed the contract. That's out of my control. You know what I'm saying?
So, you don't get to choose your edit.
But the fans would be like, you pussy, you whooped your... Say, this nigga was in a coma before he got back up. Like, you know, just stupid shit. They did bleed out Ty's shit for me, though. I'm glad they made that edit when I did cut. They made it. It seemed that nigga died. When I beat him on Cutthroat.
Oh, yeah. Cutthroat was something.
Yeah.
Cutthroat was Banana's backpack, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was Banana's backpack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw somebody did a Halloween costume with that last year. Yeah. I thought that was hilarious.
Before Banana's backpack on my first season, somebody actually put some of it. I'll show you this in a minute if I can still find it. But somebody on Twitter or now X, that was like before Banana's backpack, you know, Brandon had Wes on an infant carrier. Remember on Fresh Meat 2 when I was walking around, he's like, just wrapped his.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't. Somebody put that out, and I just that's retweeted crazy. It. Yeah, I'll show you that. It's funny. That's when I was really out there like that. But now I ain't got to do that.
I mean, that's like prime challenge years. Like, yeah. But yeah, Laura, you want to ask the rapid fire questions?
Okay, first question. Favorite challenge season. Toughest physical challenge.
Oh man. It's two of them. So when I went against Derek on Cutthroat, that lasted a lot longer than they aired, and that's one thing I hate. Like they gave him a bad edit on that. They made it seem like I whooped JD's ass. I whooped JD. Yeah, I whooped ass. You know what I'm saying? But like there was this whole thing about, you know, how the edits were going against the gay guys and this and that. Mm-hmm. But no, Derek actually is bigger than me. People just, I mean, on camera just looks a certain way. But no, me and Derek, we were in dirt. And that's my dude. Like, I just talked to him probably a couple weeks ago. We were in the dirt for like almost 2 hours. Like, it was, I couldn't feel my arms for like the next 2 days. Luckily, that was like a Thursday elimination because we had – no, it was a Friday night elimination. So we had that night and then Saturday, Sunday to recover, and then we'd have another challenge until Monday. But yeah, I would say Derek and then on Rivals. I feel so bad about this. That was my first time ever climbing a fucking rope. But when me and Ty went against Kenny and Wes, I could have beat them. Like they messed up the whole rules. Like I beat everybody the first time, and then I was gassed out. It was my first time climbing a rope, and then yeah. Now that I just mentioned it, it pissed me off again. But yeah, so those two like that's man. Was that yeah. Yeah, I could have sent Kenny and Wes home in one
crazy one fell swoop.
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like there's another part to that question. I'm sorry, Laura. What was that?
No, you're good. That was it. That was the question. Okay. Right. Okay. Next question: dream challenge partner.
Ooh, well, see, this is where chess comes into play. Well, I mean, it's hard, you know, because every challenge is a different theme. Car is my girl. I love her to death. Just talked to her last night. And, like, I know I keep saying I just talk to this person. That I really do be talking to these people. Like, they do hit me up. Car is my girl. I say yes and no about Car because Car is arguably – no, she's the strongest girl that's ever been. I ain't going to say strongest, like, just off of pull-ups. I'm talking about strongest player, period, on the female side. Also, arguably the strongest competitor, period, guy or girl. And she loves me like a brother. So, that being said, I'm going to say Car. Also, the negative side of that is everybody gunning for her. Mm-hmm. So, if me and her are partners, I got a fucking target on my back, too. But, shit, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down with her, man. I got to say my girl Car. We got some shit that people don't know about, but, like, some real shit, like some shit we outside of the show, shit. Yeah. So yeah, that's my girl though. We cool.
Okay.
That
next question. Go to challenge snack.
Go to challenge snack.
Yep.
Oh man. Peanut butter and jelly. I mean, cause like, listen, we'll go to all these different countries, right? We get 3 catered meals a day. They'll bring out like the whole thing with the little fire underneath and all that shit. And, you know, some countries are better than the others. I say probably the best food that I had was probably we were in the Czech Republic on Cutthroat. Like that was like pretty good. They had a lot of crepes and you know, I'm not a big sweets fan, but that shit was dope. And then when we did, what was Costa Rica? Was that Battle of the Season? Anyway, we were in Costa Rica. The fucking countryside was fucking great. I hated the food because every meal they brought us had rice and beans and it had to be a part of it, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Not a big deal. But then, you know, what they'll do is they'll come by with like a big notebook and they'll say, what do you want us to go grocery shopping for? And like, we'll just ask for like, you know, random shit. Eggs, butter, pasta, bread, but all I wanted was peanut butter and strawberry jelly. That's my go-to. And then other than that, just like beef jerky.
Okay. Next question. Pre-challenge ritual.
Oh, I have to take my prayer book, my daily devotional. So that's my, yeah. And so usually, you know, even in your contract, they'll say that, you know, you can't bring anything to write on, write with, blah, blah, blah. You can't read, you know, because like I said, like they, like literally, like when you're in the house, you can't do anything. But in my carry-on, you know, you have that, you know, daily devotional is what it's called, actually. You know, I just read it every morning. And, you know, I don't claim to be, I used to, you know, it's a whole nother podcast. But, yeah, just, you know, gets me right, you know, as far as you're just lucky, not lucky, but blessed to be here. And, you know, if that's cool, that's cool. And, you know, it does give me a sense of, because I have anxiety out of this world. As cool as I try to appear to be, I second, third, fourth, fifth guess myself all the time. Even if I'm, you know, I feel like I'm doing something the right way, it's never enough. I can always do it better. But, you know, it does center me a little bit enough to where I'm like, all right, well, if the path is already set and I'm right where I'm supposed to be, then shit, here we go. Let's get it. And, yeah, so as far as pre-challenge, it's that. And then, I do as many push-ups as I can until I can't. So, which is like maybe like 40 ish. Up to 40. It's like maybe like 41. So I'll just like just burn out on, and then out that I get all my nerves out. So.
Okay. Next one. The challenge celebrity edition. What athlete or celebrity would you like to see join the challenge?
Oh man. Jennifer Lopez.
You tell me how that's gonna work.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, but Lolo did it.
Lolo's trash. Lolo's trash. Look, like I wasn't there, and yeah, keep it.
No,
I know. No, I know.
He's not wrong.
I said what I said.
He's not wrong.
Nah, I know people that was on there with her, like personally, and nah, she just that.
She complained the entire. What looked like 2 days she was there.
Nah, listen, you're an Olympian. I get that. But you're an Olympian in a specific situation. And that's not a bad thing. But you came through hot and on some bullshit. And it is what it is. And then, you know, it's, you know, and I, you know, like I said, I've done shows with the people that were on there. I wasn't there. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, from what I gathered, I'm going to take this over that. And then, yeah, nah. I have nothing personal against Lolo, but she couldn't. Nah.
She didn't hold her own, y'all.
Nah, and it's okay. I mean, everybody ain't built for it.
Can you talk about craziest behind the scene moments?
Yeah, depending on what you're talking about.
That was the question.
Yeah, what's up?
What is your craziest behind the scenes moment that you can share?
Oh, Abe almost wanted to kill me.
Really?
Yeah, you know about Abram?
Not reality TV when I tell you that.
Okay, yeah. So you know Cara Maria, right? Mm-hmm.
And she was with Abe.
Yeah, so you know, I keep it short then since y'all don't. So our first season was Fresh Meat 2.
Mm-hmm.
Cara got eliminated on the first episode with Darrell. We do, me and her kept in touch. So we do Cutthroat the next season. First person I see once we get in the airport. She just runs and jumps on me. But we had been talking the whole time anyway, but it wasn't nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But she was like, B, you know, whatever. So anyway, we get into the house in Prague, which is probably my favorite one. And then that first night, you know, once they let you in, you pick your rooms or whatever, and they got, you know, the whole spread is out. And then she's like, B, you know, I miss you. She's not a drinker at all. Takes a couple shots with me or whatever. It's like a little random peck. Not like my girl, you know what I'm saying? Abe is in the corner. The camera pans to him. He's just like, this is the same motherfucker that tattoos himself.
Yeah.
Car comes to me the next day, the next morning. She was like, you can't talk to me anymore. I was like, the fuck? And she was like, Abe wants to kill you. I was like, for what? And apparently we kissed. I said, no, we didn't. It's like a little peck on the, like, kiss my mom like that. What are you talking about? And she was like, no. I was like, y'all just met and you're going to. I said, you know what? To save you some trouble.
Fine.
Yeah. But yeah, that shit. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
That was a long time ago. She's with Pauly now.
Yeah, and they both came out as bi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had a really good last season. I think he had a beautiful like redemption.
The last time she called me, he got on the phone and was like, man, Carl, there's nothing but great things to say about you. Can't wait to meet you whenever we can hook up, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, all right.
That's awesome.
And he seems to be a cool dude, man. As long as she's straight, you know. Not straight, but you know.
I really like them. I think they've grown a lot together.
I know he's really what good. She needs. You know what I'm saying? Because he's like, be you. I don't give a fuck about it. Like she was like, so, she's very, very like insecure about how people think about it. And I always felt like, bitch, fuck. Do your thing.
She's been through a lot on that show. And she, like you said, she's the toughest, honestly.
Yo.
Cara Maria is.
If she locked tough. In and was in, if she was an actual asshole, she would kill everybody. But then she'll be like, well, I don't know anybody's feeling. She'll talk that shit and on the back end be like, well, my girl, go.
Because you are that. You have that.
Yep.
Okay. Last one. Favorite challenge memory.
The first one would be the first elimination win that I got against Derek. Because it was, I didn't know what elimination looked like, and it was a physical elimination. We had to pull the rings or whatever, and I killed his ass. And then that'd probably be number one, just because I didn't know what I was getting into, and I didn't know how I would perform if I'd come out of it. Because I mean, you know, the edit looks a certain way, but like Derek is like, you know, 3-4 inches taller than me. He's not a small guy. I think that the gay guys get a bad rap just because they're gay. Well, they used to anyway.
Used to, yeah.
Yeah.
Used to
be like that. And now sure. It's kind of like trying to even, like, you know, get it back in the. But like, me and Derek and Ryan, like, we cool. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, so that'd probably be number one, because I just didn't know what I could do in that situation. I'd probably say number two would be number two would be Ty. Because, you know, people are like, oh, well, he just gassed out and you got lucky because you get, like, no, I beat that. Ty was 6'2". I'm 5'9 on a good day. And this motherfucker was chiseled out of granite. I'm talking about this motherfucker had a 12 pack, just this black beast, just. Tyson. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And I sent his ass home in a fucking ambulance. He literally could not walk. I don't give a fuck about your conditioning. None of that shit. At that point, we had been there for fucking a month and a half. Mm. I ain't got shit to do with me. You still getting up and working out, eating the same food I'm eating. It'd be different if we got there the first day trying to look good for TV. So fuck you. So that's number two. Number three would be, even though I lost, would be Rivals with Ty. I almost beat Kenny and Wes by myself. So... I still think about that from time to time, clearly. But yeah, if I had to do that over again, cause that, like I said, it's the first time me, like, you, like there's no knots in the rope. Like, they have knots in the rope now. You know, I've mm-hmm. seen some, you know, older, you know, whatever. Like, and then, like, it's wet. You know, we just jump on there and we'll just... So, you know. But yeah, to answer your question, it'd be that. Yeah, it'd be cutthroat, and then Rivals. But, you know, somebody's fault but my own. And all I can do is show up and try to show out again.
Well, I'm going to say it this way. I don't know about y'all, but on April the 10th, I will be tuned in because I never miss an episode.
Paramount Plus.
Y'all, we're going to wrap it up in things here. I just want to say thank you so much for being a guest. This is the longest we've ever recorded, honestly. We've talked about everything under the sun, I feel like, at this point.
Yeah.
So, like, when I say you have been on my guest list for a long time, and I hadn't even told you that, but you've been on my guest list for the longest time. So, truly, we appreciate you being here. You want to plug your podcast?
Yeah. So, Curry and Kool-Aid, you can find it on Instagram. Follow me also on Instagram at Brandon D. Nelson, BrandonD, as in Delta. Or actually, my middle name is Drake, but Brandon D. Nelson. And that's also on Twitter, and then on same thing on Facebook, or not Twitter, but X. But yeah, just find me where you find me, man. I'd really appreciate it. And I got some t-shirts I'm about to do, but I'm going to tell you all about that later. It's a funny concept, but you'll get it when I drop it.
Nice. Y'all be sure to follow season 4 of the Challenge All-Stars on Paramount Plus on April the 10th. Also follow Millennial Versus on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. And download our episodes on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Until next time, guys. See ya.
Dinner's on me.